The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, June 20th, 2014.
Dear friends, those of you who have some familiarity with the rabbinic tradition know that it is filled with disputes between the rabbis, disagreements on points of history, legend, and certainly law. We in America are not unaccustomed to disputes among our legislators. There's certainly nothing wrong with disagreement. Often it is only through healthy debate that all options, including the best ones, emerge. Not all debates are healthy, though. Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers, helps us understand what sorts of disputes can be instructive and which destructive. The examples offered of healthy debate are those that took place between the disciples of Hillel and Shammai. Each had the utmost respect for the other. The school of Hillel was known for its attributes of forgiveness and mercy. The school of Shammai for its strict adherence to truth and the highest standards of behavior. Both were right in their own way. But because we mortals are an imperfect lot, the rulings of Shammai were deemed too much for us, and the halakha almost always went according to Hillel. One of their disputes involved how we should congratulate a bride on her wedding day. The school of Hillel said, "Tell her she looks beautiful." Shammai countered, "Only if she does." Hillel responded, "Every bride should be told she looks beautiful on her wedding day." The custom went according to Hillel. Thank God. Now, the example may seem trivial, and the disciples of Shammai just mean. For them, though, the highest ideal was always truth. What Hillel and Shammai were wrestling with was the question of which value was more important, truth or kindness. And that, said the rabbis, is a worthwhile debate, one undertaken l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. And the lesson we learn from the halachic ruling is that there are times when kindness is a higher value than truth. Pirkei Avot's example of a dispute not for the sake of heaven is the rebellion ignited by Korach and his band of malcontents, including Dathan, Abiram, and On in this week's parasha. Korach, like Moses and Aaron, is a Levite and believes he has a right to lead the community. Dathan, Abiram, and On are descendants of Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, so they believe they, too, have a claim on leadership. "What right have you to rule us?" they demand of Moses and Aaron. "Are not we all God's chosen?" Judging by the numbers of those punished, nearly 15,000 Israelites backed their claim. One wonders how they garnered such popular support. What hold did they have over the people? The rabbis answer. Demagogues, they played upon the Israelites' fatigue and their fears. In the Midrashic legends, Korach charges Moses and Aaron with arbitrarily enforcing time and again Torah's regulations simply to make the Israelites' lives more difficult. Korach, they report, assembled all the congregation and began to speak to them, saying, "There was once a widow in my neighborhood who had two fatherless daughters in one field. When she came to plow, Moses said to her, 'Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together.' When she came to sow, he said to her, 'Thou shalt not sow thy field with diverse seeds.' When she came to reap and stack the corn, he said to her, 'Leave gleanings in the corner of the field for the poor.' When she came to thresh, he said to her, 'Give tithes and priestly dues.' What did this poor woman do? She went and sold her field and purchased with the proceeds 2 lambs to clothe herself from their shearing and enjoy their products. But as soon as they gave birth, Aaron came and said to her, "Give me the firstborn." Thereupon she said, "Since I have no more strength to withstand these men, I shall slaughter the lambs and eat them." But as soon as she had slaughtered them, Aaron came and said to her, "Give me the shoulder." He took it, departed, and left her weeping with her 2 daughters. Such was the lot that befell this unfortunate woman. And Korach concluded, saying, "So much do Moses and Aaron do. In the name of the Holy One, blessed be God." Korach perverts the very essence of Torah. In Korach's mouth, Torah is not a path to redemption, but a means of oppression, crushing widow and orphan alike. Korach twists the laws of gleanings, leaving the corners of the field and the giving of tithes, which exist only to care for those who cannot care for themselves, into a vehicle for their victimization. What then was Korach's popular appeal? The social philosophy that citizenship need not involve responsibility or sacrifice. And for an exhausted throng of refugees already feeling put upon, it resonated. He and his band postured themselves as noble defenders of Israel, but in reality, they manipulated the people and the Torah simply to quench their own thirst for power. Theirs, say the rabbis, was a dispute not at all for the sake of heaven. So in the end, Korach and his entire gang are swallowed up by the earth. Korach's demise is our adjuration. We do have a responsibility to societies less fortunate. Indeed, as the first 4th of July air conditioning and car sales ads begin to appear, the portion reminds us what that holiday should really be about. The vision of what America can be, a land of equality and equal opportunity, which educates its young and cares for its old, where no one goes without the necessities you and I take for granted. A nation which guarantees human rights in law and expects that each of us be willing to give according to our means for the welfare of all. And a society which honors its men and women in uniform, those who died for us, those now serving for us, including those heading back to Iraq, and those who have returned from war, wounded, scarred, and in need. Though Independence Day is not a religious holiday, it can nonetheless be a deeply spiritual one, for it celebrates the social contract that lies at the very heart of Torah and is lifted up by the rabbis in their midrash on this week's portion. A time for each of us to consider our own sense of what that responsibility entails, and to ensure that when we or those who represent us in the halls of power disagree about the right path forward for our country, that those disagreements are indeed Lashem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven. Amen.